Enough is Enough was a wide-ranging conversation by community members to discuss issues such as drug use, suicide, dropout rates, domestic violence, homelessness, and socioeconomic threats to the community. Facilitator Kathy LeCompte told attendees this wasn't going to be just another meeting of talk, but an opportunity for real change.
This is about a call to action for our community to step up and make a difference. This isn't my party. I just happen to be the host. This is your party. It's up to you to make a difference in this community. Think about what doubts and reservations do you have around that whole notion of we've been here before, and why have we been here before? We have talked this to death. We've talked about this a lot. Why haven't we solved these problems? I believe it's because as a community, we need to step up and do that.
With a broad range of topics on the table, focus was divided. Over the course of the two-hour discussion, only a small number of topics were addressed. Attendees were invited to speak at the microphone by name or anonymously and could also submit written comments and questions. Margaret Cloudy spoke of her frustration with continued conversations about suicides without real action being taken to prevent them.
Suicides occur because of hopelessness and despair. And until people quit thinking that if you send someone to treatment or you pray with them or whatever else that they're going to be okay, that's not happening. You have to deal with the root causes. And until everybody's going to deal with the root causes, honestly, nothing's going to change. We're going to have another meeting, and in between these meetings, we're going to have another suicide.
Several spoke about the need for more things for young people to do in the community in order to keep them away from drugs and alcohol. A woman who did not identify herself says having activities for teens will not solve the problem. She says people need to understand the full extent of the drug and alcohol situation in the community.
It's not just single mother on welfare. It's not alcoholic parents with the problem kids. It's everybody. It could be your doctor. It could be your bank manager, your lawyer, the mayor of the town, whoever. You know, we need to stop thinking that there's only certain kids that's going to be vulnerable to this, because that's wrong. Every single kid is vulnerable. We need to come down on the people supplying alcohol for 14-year-old girls. We need to come down on the people supplying kids with the drugs. We can put helplines, we can do surveys, we can have toll-free numbers all we want. The only kids those are going to help is the kids who want to be helped. If you don't want to be out, you're going to lie, you're going to steal, you're going to manipulate, you're going to do everything in your power to hide your problem. You're not going to reach out to get help. Somebody has to reach out to you. And it's going to be forcible, because all you can do is just lead the horse. You can't make him drink.
Several spoke about the importance of faith in their lives and belief that religion is the path to a healthy life. Michael Muller says he had a methamphetamine addiction, but is now drug-free.
He changed my life. He took me out of a shed and into this building. And he can do it for every one of our children and every one of your friends or your neighbors or anybody else you may have ever encountered who has a problem with substance abuse. The drugs are what is causing the crime. It's what's causing the suicides. There's this hopelessness, and Jesus Christ gives hope.
Muller and others mentioned some of the youth activities available through churches. Terry Robbins says when she first arrived in Ketchikan, she found it difficult to become part of the community and was very unhappy. She says she made a personal decision to change her attitude about Ketchikan and focus on the positive.
I hear a lot of negative talk about our community. I hear talk about what's wrong with individuals, what's wrong with service agencies, what's wrong with different groups and organizations, businesses. Ethnic groups. I hear lots of negative talk, and our young people hear that talk too. And the one woman was talking about the hopelessness and despair. We need to make sure that when we are talking about our community with people who are younger or people who are new to Ketchikan, that we take it upon ourselves to point out what is good about Ketchikan and what is worth living for.
During the evening, co-organizer Zig Ziglar read and summarized some of the written comments. He says several residents suggested working with the police to solve neighborhood problems.
What takes place in our community with the state troopers and the city police, they need to be called. If you are suspicious of something, call them. If you are aware of something, call them. If they are made aware of something and don't respond, call them back. and then call your elected officials to let them know. The police in this town are overwhelmed. They're working as hard as they possibly can, but we can help. If we know that we have a child who's a substance abuser, let the police know.
Other suggestions included posting suicide hotline information at bus stops and community centers, establishing a local Alateen chapter for children of alcoholics, offering parenting classes, having neighborhood watches, and opening a local drug and alcohol rehabilitation center. Organizers say Tuesday's forum is just the beginning of a long community conversation. Written comments will be compiled and posted to the group's Facebook page. Those wishing to get involved with the effort or wanting more information can contact Bobby McCreary at Ketchikan Youth Initiatives or visit www.ketchikanconversation.freeforums.org. In Ketchikan, I'm Maria Dudzak.